Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 11th. It's 8:11. Just for those that might have slipped an hour in the last 24 or so. Joining us this morning because Mr. Hartley had a higher priority situation, right? Is that what we're saying, Jody? Jenny Bowen is with us.
Good morning.
Isn't that what we're saying? Is that he had a higher priority somewhere else and he was kind of leaving us in the lurch and left you in the lurch
something
too?
Something along those lines. Yes, I'm officially his fill-in today.
which is an upgrade for all of us.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can find our, why do we say that here? Something that would be somewhat appropriate, huh? Delta. What is the reason the mouth of a river is named for the Greek letter delta? Any idea? We could have gone with delirium, but that might almost be redundant.
I don't know.
All river deltas in the world are named after the delta of the Nile. This was called a delta because it was a triangle, the same shape as the letter delta.
Fun fact.
Really, really not too deep this morning.
No. Keep it surface.
Yeah, you've been with the County Office of Ed for years.
Yeah.
What is the biggest response or the most common response that people have when you say, oh, I work at da-na-na-na-na?
Oftentimes people do get the get confused a little bit between the difference of a district and a county office. And so a lot of times we do talk about that and just what our role is comparatively. And really it's a support role and to support our districts and schools however they need. Financial oversight primarily and maintaining all of the mandates. But it's great. It's a wonderful partnership. We love working with our schools and districts, especially on some of our exciting programs. And this year we're getting into a event season, so that becomes a very busy time of year for all of us.
Would it be an oversimplification to say coordinator of HR rules, coordinator of financial stuff, coordinator of things from the state, maybe an ombudsman, son, function? It just kind of as a working word.
You could say that. I think, you know, each district and school is individually governed, so they do a lot of that on their own. And we're really just a support role where they can't always have, or where they need additional supports.
So do they ask you, or is it kind of formalized? These are the roles that the local district does, and this is kind of what the county office does. Thank you very much. And it's in partnership with everybody kind of running down the same trail.
It's a little of both. I'd say on the business and HR side, it's a little more formalized, but there's also needs that come up where, for example, if schools don't have their own speech therapist or psychologist or something along those lines, we'll, contract out to those districts and schools as needed.
So it's not gratuitous.
Right.
But they also don't have to incur the full-time cost
That's
of having
right.
somebody for a short window of time.
We have a lot of itinerant staff that really that's their main function is to go out and support the districts as needed. And you're exactly right. Many of them don't have that full-time need. So it allows us to be able to kind of broker that relationship and allow for a wider casting.
For lobbying and things of that nature, more on the political side of things, does the Office of Ed speak for the districts, or do the districts speak for themselves and the county's kind of the office is more of a unifier of the message?
Again, I'd say a little of both. I think, each district is self-governed in that way, so they do make their own decisions and have their own boards. More and more, though, I think that there is a coordinated approach, especially with some of the advocacy pieces. And, Dr. Hartley's done a great job as pulling some of the superintendents together and going down to Sacramento for legislative action days and really talking about kind of what are the needs that hit all of us and where are those areas that we can collaborate and really show up as a unified voice.
Field trips.
Right. important ones.
Yeah. With the desire for local autonomy that a lot of school districts have, as well as then with what the Office of Ed provides, how do you work that dynamic? Is each relationship unique unto itself?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Shaking your head's not going to work.
Definitely. Our smaller districts have different needs than our larger ones. And so it really is kind of based on, that individual school site, the individual district. We are so unique in the fact that we are rural. We're very spread out. So the needs that percolate for a district like Maple Creek are going to be very different than those of Eureka City Schools.
For Humboldt, as we are, I mean, it's kind of our norm, right? How many other counties are set up this way? Is there a county office of ed for each of the 58 counties?
There is. Mm-hmm.
Do their roles differ?
Not really, no. I mean, I would say the programs and what their focus areas are would differ, but the main functionality and the support role is systematic throughout.
That would kind of make sense for the rurals, but I'm kind of surprised, like Sonoma County,
mm-hmm.
or Marin or San Francisco or Alameda would have that similar approach, but you know better than
they
I.
They do. They do.
What is the biggest challenge that's out there right now?
Well, you know, my department is a little unique. We're the communications office, so our role is really to support schools and districts as well as our own internal programs with everything from web design to graphic design, video production, public relations, and media. Right now, web design is big because of the new ADA compliance. There's new law out that basically every agency that's funded through government funding has to have an ADA compliant website. So we've been doing a lot of that work and really supporting our schools to kind of get them up to speed so that
developing a template that they can use?
A little bit of a template, a little bit of some training, and then just really kind of diving in and getting them where they need to be.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jenny Bowen from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. Jenny, one of the things that we have seen on the outside looking in, and Chris has talked to it, and I'm sure that you've been pretty engaged in this thing also, is the swing or the movement or the recognition or whatever you want to call, getting back to what was when I was going through in the 70s, HROP, vocational programs, career tech. I know there's a bunch of the cutesy words and mm-hmm. things get changed, but pretty much the kids that are more inclined to get into the trades rather than going on to a four-year school stretched into six.
Right.
I guess it's kind of showing some colors. What is the push for this? Is it just kind of like a general recognition and dawning that there's this need that is out there in the marketplace and there's a desire for a lot of kids to do it and let's become the facilitator?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we really heard this come up from the industry themselves. You know, the local industry here in Humboldt County and really throughout the state and beyond are just seeing a huge skills gap coming forth. And so having a pipeline to get more students involved in the trades is really critical. There's also many students who aren't as interested in going potentially down the four-year college route and so need additional options available. So there's been a huge push here locally. When the ROP funding ended a few years back.
Thanks for not saying decades, but okay, good.
there really was a kind of an outcry from our local businesses that said, okay, now what? What are we going to do here? And through that effort and through some coordination, we've been able to receive some grant funds, but also develop some programs specifically around targeting the trades. And right now we have a program called the Trades Academy that Jack Shepherd has been leading and just doing a great job really working directly with our local businesses and supporting the current CTE programs that still exist in the high schools. So those career technical education programs like wood, metal, shop, you know, those are still alive and well. And the difference is that, you know, they don't always have the numbers to fill a full class for each year. So what might be wood shop 1, 2, 3, and 4 might be all in the same class. Well, those fourth year students have already gone through their basic safety trainings and some of the, initial educational aspects. So what the Trades Academy does is actually provide an opportunity. It's a mobile lab that can actually come out to the campus itself, set up training opportunities, give real life experience, and take those few kids out and actually bring them to a work site and provide that real hands-on instruction.
So how does that differ from, what was it called? It was an independent study. It was work experience. In the old days, is this a little bit more structured or a little bit more formally recognized?
I could say it's similar, you know, in theory, but this is very specific for trades, and it's a little bit more of a, there's field trip avenues, there's industry tours.
So you're not working
panels.
As a stock boy in the back room.
No, okay. It's hands on. It's very real life experience. And you know what the businesses are finding is it's a great opportunity for them too to actually have these students come onto their workplace, their sites, and kind of get almost a little bit of a test interview, if you will. Those are the same students that are going to be directly interested when those positions come available.
So what is the retort for somebody saying, oh, that's great, but you guys are serving as a job placement service for that business or that niche? Is that a fair assumption, or is this a little bit different? I mean, there's no obligation for the kid to stay and work at that business.
Absolutely not. No, I think it's exposure and awareness and really just providing that opportunities to give them all of those different aspects that they might not normally have a chance to view. So, maybe I've only seen one type of industry. This opportunity allows for a breadth of, many.
So they're able
they
to touch
exposed to.
Like an electrician and run with them for a little bit, and then go over to a plumber and run with them for
exactly.
a little bit, and then a roofer for a little bit, and et cetera.
Right. The way that the curriculum is actually designed is that there's a theme each month. And so with each month, there's a new theme that kind of emerges. So, for example, electrical, or we'll call it energy, because now there's so many other alternative types of energy.
Don't go too fast for me. You're still dragging me along here.
There's careers in water, that is not only plumbing, but also, drilling. And so what we've done is we've actually we've developed videos around these various industries, posters, collateral material, website, what have you. And Jack takes this information into the classrooms and gives that initial exposure to the students through the avenue of some of these other marketing materials, if you will. And then they are able to then take that to the next level by going out on sites, having those employers come to the classroom and give them a real life experience and
so it's
some
not
sort
the
of
kid
a
saying, I want to be an electrician. It's no, you're going to see the full
it's
gamut
full
of the choices,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll see where things go.
Correct, yeah. And
so it's like general ed.
A little bit.
Vocational general ed.
It's all connected now, and that's what kind of makes it exciting, really. It's all, it's built in to the system, and that makes it great.
It's 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th.
Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Jenny Bowen. She's the go-to gal.
Oh.
Yeah, you like that? Huh? Well, it sounds more exciting than marketing and PR and all that kind of stuff. The go-to gal.
I like
it. All right, yeah. You may not see that on her business card, however. For the Humboldt County Office of Ed, Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Jenny, in looking at the concept of the career tech model, it certainly seemed, or the Trades Academy, I guess, is the proper. It certainly seems like this could be an area that would develop a ton of momentum because this is a regular guy. I mean, you look around anywhere in Humboldt County, what jobs require a four-year, what jobs require the ability to do the job?
Right.
Instead of some of the other things. And, you know, a 4 years certainly shows that you can complete something, stick to itiveness, and there's things that come in, and there's regulations and stuff. But, you know, as somebody told me, you know, if you're the graduate number 150 out of a class of 150 in medical school, they call you doctor, just as if you were number one.
Mm.
You know, can you get the job done? Period, end of story. So I would suspect for a lot of businesses and a lot of businesses that are looking for employees, we're looking for people who can get the job done, not
That's
necessarily
right.
a pedigree. Computer tech, you know, I would think that that would be one of these things that you guys could be just going crazy about. Everybody knows about, you know, Jobs and Gates in their track and where it ended. I would think that that would be what's emulated and fostered. Is there a temptation now to kind of go and invest a ton in this direction because it really has more practicality for the local rather than the traditional, which has been in place for the last 50 or 60 years?
Well, I think there's still definitely a path for both, and depending on what that individual is interested in doing and where they want to go in terms of their career, there certainly are both options. This is what we've seen is just a huge need locally and really across the board, and the employers are desperate for workers. I mean, there's just huge numbers, and in some cases they can't even go out to do some of their bids because they don't have enough people, you know, to support them. So, you know, the main thing,
and the kids want these jobs too.
That's right.
So
that's
it's
right.
It's a two-way street.
It is, and you know, it goes back to the basics. It's really about, you know, showing up, being on time. You know, it's your success skills at the end of the day, and that's what's being reinforced time and again through this effort, through this program, and really what the employers are telling us as well. We can train anyone, but we just want somebody who's motivated, who's ready to work, and wants to show up.
Regular guy or gal.
Regular guy or gal.
The 60s, regular guy
sure.
or gal, right?
Sure.
And just be there. Don't show up drunk to work.
Right.
I mean,
kind of your common basic sense in some cases.
Boy,
and
I
yet
wish.
You'd be surprised how much a little bit of that is lost. So, there, you know, it really is reinforcing those commonalities, but also just giving that awareness and exposure that I don't think was always as prevalent as it is now.
I'm trying to figure out the definition of an acronym. D-U-H, duh.
Right.
With that,
add that to
show up to work on time. If you're sick, call in. And do a full, you know, an honest day's work. I mean, is kind of, yeah, maybe I'll have it by the time Chris comes back next month.
Add an acronym to our repertoire.
Yeah, that one, though, I think makes sense. Yeah. The stigmatization for those, it was always bragging rights, and probably still is, when you get that letter of acceptance. And let's not worry about moms and dads at this point, because that's a whole different critter to wrestle down. But with the kids also. Recognition of accomplishment. What is in place for those that are going with a career path out of school? Is there, I mean, I would think having a job with a level of compensation that would provide the ability to buy a house, start a family, all would be, I mean, you get a chance to strut a little bit with that stuff too. How do the students react? Is there a buzz about this that people are excited and there might be a little bit of jealousy perhaps for those going into the trades and having a job and being able to stay versus having to go away to school?
Sure. I think there's definitely something to be said about coming right out of the door and having that opportunity available. You know, these students, you know, there is an encouragement of some form of advanced training. So whether that is a couple of courses or a certification that someone can get through College of the Redwoods, or getting on the job training, there's still a recognition that that piece is very important. So it's not that somebody can just walk in and obviously do the job, but really that there would be that that avenue to be trained to.
Well, it's an apprentice. Know.
It is an
ship-like
approach. Exactly. Yeah. And so, but you know, at a much less cost, at a much reduced time frame. So, you know, there really is an opportunity for these students to, like you say, out of the bag, have these great opportunities, these positions available to them that, quite frankly, are well paid at the end of the day and offer great benefits and security and safety. And so so that, I think, perception is starting to shift.
What restrictions are there? Can the kids work 4 or 6 hours a day in this program? Can they get a job after they've gone through the program a little bit, or they're partially through? This is a sampler kit, guys. You're not going to sit down for the dinner. This is a sample plate, and you're going to walk all the way through. If one really resonates with you, great. But the commitment is to go through them all, because there may be something else that you're better suited at or more passionate about that you just haven't been exposed to yet.
That's the nice thing about it. It's, you know, even though someone may think that this is my wheelhouse, I'm going to go into woodworking. Oh, wow, I just got exposure to the metal world, and now I'm really excited about that. And so really that cross-section of awareness, I think, is one of the highlights and real benefits of this program. And there's going to be more development as it goes along, really working in the arena of, you know, providing those more specific types of apprenticeships and internships as we move along. So more opportunities will be coming forth.
When there's the mentorship or the apprenticeship, is that something that is the mentor in the private sector, or is the mentor somebody that Jack is assigned to monitor the progression?
It would be more in the industry itself, yeah. So on the job training, really working with the people that you would essentially be working with. And so it provides that realistic hand-holding and an opportunity that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Reality, what a concept.
Well, and that's just to showcase what great partners we have in this community. I mean, so many have stepped up to the table. So many are interested in this work and this development that really none of this could be done without them.
KINS, News and Information Times, 844. We'll be back with more from Jenny.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jenny Bowen. Jenny, what types of niches are represented in what the Office of Ed is doing for this? It's not an outreach, but for this new approach to...
For the trades.
Yeah, hands-on education.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the themes, you know, are just kind of your basic run-of-the-mill, but we are doing them in such a way where we're reaching out and multiple employers are coming to the table to really showcase the different elements within that industry. So you might have a metal industry, for example, but there's different ways in which people work with metal. So, you know, it's down from welding to huge walls to, you know, so it's really, again, exposing the student to all aspects within that industry. And then not so much even stopping there, but in all of these industries, they still need a bookkeeper. They still need office folks. They still need line workers, you know, so it really just opens up the door to just kind of a world of possibilities. And it comes down to, you know, a lot of these students and folks that we talk to, they just, you know, love the idea of having something that they can look back on that day. I did this. This is something I worked on.
The tangible.
It's tangible. Yeah. It's hands-on. They like working with, you know, somebody said that works on big trucks, right? I never wanted to get out of the sandbox, you know. So it's those kinds of things that I think can start to reframe the appeal.
You got 30 seconds for whatever it is that you brought in.
Well, there is a kind of an exciting event coming up. We're calling it From Humboldt to Hulu. The Chief Technology Officer of Hulu, his name is Dan Phillips, is actually coming to Humboldt County. Dan Phillips actually grew up here in Humboldt County. He went to Bridgeville School. He went to Fortuna High. He went to College of the Redwoods and HSU. So he's going to be coming back and offering a free event to students and families to come kind of hear about his pathway, what led him to where he wanted to go and where he eventually ended up, and give some advice for some of our students here. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be Thursday, April 4th at the Sequoia Conference Center. You can get more information online at Get Ready Humboldt or check out the HCOE Facebook
page. I'm sure
we'll
be hearing about it a little bit too.
A little bit.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Say hi to Chris for us.
I will.
See everybody tomorrow.